Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, first half, how can you go wrong? Joe Coy is coming in studio. Also, a Bill Cosby reenactment to song, The Majesty of Song. First, Tommy John, summer, heating up. You're cooking in your clothes, you got to get some Tommy John. I have mine right now. I always wear them. I mean, I wear them during the winter and fall as well, but it's breathable, it's lightweight. Fibers keep you 2 to 3 times cooler, and they dry 4 to 5 times faster than regular cotton. Men's underwear features the contour pouch. It's all good. It works so well. Get the long stuff. Great for working out. Great for going. I went on a bike ride the other day. Worked up a little froth down there. Hung them out. Air dry those bad boys and put them back on the next day. A little shot of talcum, and I'm on my way. Men and women's underwear with the no wedgie guarantee. Legs never ride up, waistbands never roll down. Backed by the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. You won't go back. That's what I will tell you about Tommy John. Whatever it is you wore before Tommy John, you will throw away. Well, don't throw it away. Use it as rags to wipe down your car. It's Tommy John, right, Dawson?
Go to TommyJohn.com/Adam now to save 20% on your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
Rocket Mortgage. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home is much more than a house. That's why when you find the perfect place for you and your family, getting a mortgage shouldn't be difficult and it shouldn't get in the way. And that's why there's Rocket Mortgage. Their team of mortgage experts, number one goal is to make home buying process a smoother, easier process for you. Quicken Loans help millions of Americans achieve the dream of home ownership. And when you're ready to purchase a home and it's the home of your dreams, well, then they can help you too. J.D. Power ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination 9 years in a row and highest in mortgage servicing 5 years in a row. Not too shabby. Get started online at rocketmortgage.com/Adam. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Push button, get mortgage. Rocket Mortgage. Right, Dawson?
Visit rocketmortgage.com/Adam and take the first step toward the home of your dreams. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Push button, get mortgage. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Joe Coy. With Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, still mad that Tom Hanks stole the Mr. Rogers role from him, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Have to get it on. No choice, but you got a mandate. You get it on now. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. We love when you hit the share button on your smartphone, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian. I hope they don't find out I'm not a stand-up.
Oh, yeah.
Joe Coy, stand-up, mm-hmm. coming in and found out about Kobayashi's talking trash against Chestnut.
Uh-oh.
So we may
on our own soil. On our own soil, no less.
I guess so. So we got that to look forward to. So we'll hopefully get Joe to drop an old school rant, old school voice, which was Kobayashi.
He called on the radio show to Kobayashi.
He was Kobayashi just before he was Joe Coy on the radio show.
What do you mean?
What I mean is...
He was only Kobayashi. When
you, oh, yeah, he called in character.
I was Mr. Burcham before I was Adam Carolla. Adam Carolla had no... didn't carry any
didn't
weight.
Have juice.
Nobody knew who Adam Carolla was.
Right.
Burcham, they could figure out. I think Joe Coy, before anyone knew or cared about Joe Coy, was Kobayashi.
This would have for sure been 06, because the whole thing was he just started making fun of Tad for being fat, and Tad was only around for 06.
Right.
And yeah, Joe was not a known entity at that point. He called in and just did a hilarious Kobayashi.
All right. So stuff to complain about. Oh, we're doing which would weigh more, something Big Tad or whatever.
We should find some clips of that. It's really good.
vending machine or things, a full vending machine. All right, this half of the show brought to you by RocketMortgage.com/am, TommyJohn.com, Castrol Challenge, and JB Weld as well.
Sorry, I gotta ask. What's Tad's brother's name? Cash Thunder? Thunder and Lightning?
That's a casino.
Cash Thunder. T-Chance Thrasher.
Thank you.
I didn't think about that one for a second.
T-Chance Thrasher. Okay. Sorry, yeah. You were saying.
Male dancer.
Okay.
Extraordinaire. Me, Jimmy, Big Tad, and T-Chance all got in a custom van and drove to Vegas for the weekend.
Well, you're with him for the weekend. Did you call him T? Did you call him T-Chance? Call him TC?
I called him whatever he asked me to call him because his gas was so, yes,
weaponized
and explosive and on demand. I mean, there's, you know, anyone can belch and anyone can fart, but only Jim Florentine can do the on-demand belching,
right.
And T-Chance could do the farting. Yeah. And it didn't seem to vary what he ate or what kind of mood he was in. It was bad all the time. There's a small subset of human beings. I know it because when Jimmy did win Ben Stein's money, he had a cameraman who had this problem. Like,
Gift?
Yeah. I mean, I think of, we make fun of stuff. We're kind of funny. Like, if anything has to do with your throat, we feel bad. If it has to do with your ass, we start laughing. Yeah. They're equally dangerous. Mm-hmm. They both could kill you.
Sure.
They're both
terminal.
Horrific and so on and so forth. But for some reason, we're so adolescent that any... Anyway.
Ass equals funny.
He had a condition... And he would fart, like his cameraman on Win Ben Stein's Money. And when he did, because I don't know that he could stand in one place for 5 hours like shooting without this happening because of his condition, he would have to hold a sign up like a soccer ref.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a yellow card.
Yeah, yeah, red card.
A red
on the
card.
Severity
like
of the fart.
He'd have to just hold a card up saying, this happened. Yeah. Do not come around.
Like he's bidding at the worst auction in the world.
Yes,
he's held up a brown paddle.
How shaming.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
He had a condition, and he was a good cameraman.
Yeah, that's his fault.
And evidently,
he busted the
super
best.
Villain.
Right. So anyway, T-Chance Thrasher could destroy us all. and he did. The funniest,
where are they now for T-Chance?
The funniest part is I don't know that he had any intention of destroying us and the van we're in all the way to Vegas and while we're in the room and then all the way home. I don't know that he had that. I don't know that he had that intention.
Yeah, he hasn't harnessed his power. It just happens.
Once Jimmy opened the back door, pardon the pun, to that.
Right.
Once Jimmy announced he was going to destroy everybody. But basically, T-Chance Thrasher would have been like a mild-mannered UFC fighter who
he's
would
not
have,
looking for trouble.
He would have known better to use his skills on the street.
Right.
But as soon as drunken frat boy Jimmy Kimmel said, "You want trouble? You found trouble." That guy painted a smile on his face.
Wow.
He was like, "Oh, this is now. This is going to be good."
Right.
I wouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
But now that Jimmy announced he was going to destroy the van,
yeah, threw down the fartlet.
Now, and it was the worst 4.5 hours in a minivan ever. It could have been the worst anyway, even if he wasn't farting, because it was Big Tad and his brother, T-Chance Thrasher, who was telling us he just got done arguing with his parents over the naming of his newborn son, Blade.
Oh.
So it would be Blade Thrasher.
Yeah.
It's good, actually.
Although his last name was Newcomb. And he was an exotic dancer.
Let's track him down, Chris.
Get him on the
line. Yeah, I don't know. If you punch in T-Chance Thrasher, exotic dancer, I don't know. If he's probably demoted to driving the van now. Low lookout. But anyway.
I'll tell you the problem with Googling T-Chance Thrasher. There is a quarterback for the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers named Chance Thrasher. So that throws everything off. That throws all your searches.
Thrasher
off.
Last name, huh?
Yeah, Chance Thrasher. He's at Chance Thrasher on Twitter.
Wow.
Now, so I was listening. So Joe Coy will come in. Hopefully we'll hit up some Kobayashi. I was listening to me and Dr. Drew. And you know how I love to yell at Dr. Drew because what Dr. Drew loves...
It's your favorite hobby.
He loves to sit there and sort of derail your stories or pick away at them a little bit. Or he makes you stop and address his stupid question and then get on with the story. He does not let you flow with the story. This one I found interesting. We brought it up here before, but you've not heard it while Drew tried to pick it apart. I was attempting to tell the story of Papa John Phillips and Mackenzie Phillips and their consensual adult relationship, their sexual relationship. Now, to me, the molestation story is sadly commonplace in our society. Priests and whatnot, counselors.
Mm-hmm. Yes, a sad cliche.
Even you don't know how many kids I spoke to.
Creepy uncle.
Yeah, how many love line calls I took from 15-year-old girls who were molested.
Right.
But adult consensual sex for a decade.
That's a smaller subset.
It's very rarefied air, and it takes the creepiness to a whole new stratosphere.
That's layers of damage.
Right. Yeah. So I was trying to explain how insane this was, that the guy from the Mamas and the Papas was having a consensual adult relationship with his daughter.
Right.
And we can listen to Drew attempting to undermine that.
I was about
What's
to say,
there to undermine?
Note, does he know Mackenzie Phillips?
Yes.
Is there a sort of a softening of the...
I think he does.
I don't know. Let's okay. just... And also, he's passive aggressive because, listen, let's just listen to Dr. Okay. Drew. I think it was Papa John Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
Papa John Phillips was a junkie drug addict.
Who sexually abused his daughter.
Well, he was accused by her as an adult as having a 10-year
relationship.
Adult
style. She was still 16 or something.
No, no. They had an adult consensual sexual relationship.
Right.
Now, this is not the 3-year-old slipping into the room. This is as adults.
She was a teenager.
I think she. Okay, now listen. First he goes, adult style. It's like, yeah, adult style because they're adults.
Yeah.
They're adults. He keeps like, she was a teenager. Like, he doesn't know is what I'm saying. Why not just let me continue? Why are you sliding in and sort of undercutting this notion? Now, at a certain point, we find it. I don't know all the official particulars. I know she was an adult. And she had a 10-year relationship with her dad. That's what I know. I don't know why he can't just sit back and hear it and see where it's going.
If he knows that she was a teenager when it started, say so. Otherwise, just go with the premise.
Right, he doesn't know anything.
That's what I'm
saying. Just throwing stuff in. Began when she was 19, Drew, so shut up.
19?
19.
Isn't that teenager?
Began.
I understand, but it was when she was a teenager. I'm just saying.
What is considered a minor and what is considered an adult in this country?
Depends what you're talking about, but 18.
What are you 18. Talking about? Okay. Guess what's 1 year more than 18?
19.
Toward the adult.
Toward the adult.
All I'm saying is she had an adult because she's a teenager. She's younger. She's a teenager. I'm trying to paint a horrific story, Drew.
Okay.
Please don't dump your flour on my horrific story.
Got it.
She had an adult consensual relationship with her biological dad that started at 19. It went for years.
Yep.
As an adult, Drew, signing off
That's
on
true.
That.
That's true.
Okay. That guy was Papa John Phillips. Went on for 10 years.
I think he also had done something to her when she was younger, too.
Can you see him like keep steering it back to... I'm sure he fucked her when she was 5.
Yeah.
I'm sure of it, Drew.
That's how we got here.
Mm.
That's
it wasn't like one day at 19, like, hey, I got an idea.
That's called second base for Papa John. May I continue painting my story about having sex as an adult, or will you not let me? Why? What's with that? What? Why can't he do that?
I don't know. It's that tooth you can't stop, picking at. It's loose.
Well, I wish you'd find a fucking dentist. Okay. All right. I'm going to finish. I was trying to finish my thought, but he wouldn't let me finish it because he kept going. Teenage. Aha. 19. Even if she started at 16, if it went on for 10 years, it's still an adult consensual relationship with your... Can I just finish my story that happened? that you don't know about, but you got to jump in every 8 seconds and try to undercut it.
Let yourself finish your story.
At a certain point, I get so distracted and angry, I start yelling at him, and I can't finish my story. And do you know how many times I've said to him, just shut up and let me fucking tell my story. If you've got a problem or you know something I don't know, you shall say it at the end. Okay. I'm positive he did.
Yeah.
Now, let me finish, Drew.
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Damn Christ. He had an adult, consensual relationship.
Well, you know what I'm reacting to is the whole idea of consensual.
She wasn't in her mid-40s.
Yeah, right. It's fine.
She was an adult.
I'm explaining my shit. Relax. Well,
stop explaining your shit and start shutting up. She had a 10-year adult relationship sexually with her father, her biological father.
Yeah.
That person, Papa John Phillips, has been less ostracized by our society than the Papa John pizza guy. Another Papa John.
Right. Finally, we get there.
Who was on the phone with like his management crisis team, and he basically said, Colonel Sanders used the N-word. Why is everyone coming down on me? And then that person went and said, he dropped an N-bomb. Mm. And now he's out. Is that the kind of balance you would like in our society? Papa John, any thoughts? Hey, if you're talking about Papa John Phillips, no thoughts. If you're talking about Papa John Pizza, I got a problem with that
dude. Out.
Out.
All right.
Out, I tell you.
Anyway, that's the majesty of trying to tell a story in front of Dr. Drew. Now, what were his points?
That she was once a teenager?
Well, he didn't know. Here's what I'm curious about in life. There's a lot of people who jump in. I think there are things we know and things we don't know, right?
Sure.
So if somebody says to me, look, I ordered an interior door, 1¾-inch thick to use with 4-inch hinges, I would go, sorry, that's 1⅜. Interior, exterior is 1¾. I would jump in. I might not. But at least I would know what I wouldn't jump in and then go, I don't know what I'm talking about.
I don't know doors, but.
But something's wrong with what you said. Like, that's what Drew does. He jumps in, but he doesn't have an answer. He doesn't know this story.
Yeah, it's your example of either being out in the ocean or being up on the beach. Like, he's in the surf because he has the insight that you have into doors, that he has into addiction and sexual deviance and blah, blah, blah. But, like, if you have an insight, by all means, educate us. But if you don't get impounded by the surf.
He's just there to nitpick your statement, which makes you stop, address his nitpicking, and then go back and restart your statement. He doesn't let you cleanly get through your statement.
Right. And the point would have been made either way. Like, he didn't, that his contribution wasn't helping your point.
Yes.
She's a teenager.
Right.
Okay.
Papa John.
Also, I have a, I don't know why I was laughing about it with Drew, too, yesterday. It had nothing to do with him being a horrible broadcaster.
Oh, was he laughing about that?
I was laughing about Bill Cosby and, you know, my thing about all the dancing, like Ellen and all the happiness and all that.
It's a nice sheen over your deviant lifestyle.
The rosies.
Yeah, and I was saying, you know, it's you take guys, I don't know why these two popped into my mind, but you take guys like Mark Cuban, there's no affect there. There's just, I'm Mark Cuban.
It just is.
I have an opinion. I'm not a bad person. I share it. Sometimes you don't like my opinion. Dana White of the UFC. Mm. I'm Dana White. I'm not hiding anything. There's no facade of this. There's just, I'll tell you what I think or tell you what I don't think. But I get the feeling that Dana White is Dana White. And I get the feeling that Mark Cuban is Mark Cuban. Now, obviously, Bill Cosby was not Bill Cosby.
Indeed.
He's playing a character. Yeah.
Right. So where do you get the affectation? It's hiding who, the separation. I don't think there's a separation with Mark Cuban. I just feel like I've met him a few times. I've talked to him a few times. But when you hear him talk, you just go, that's just Mark Cuban. Mm. And you get the feeling that if you're at home standing at his kitchen island, eating guacamole with him, drinking a Corona, it would be the exact same person, right?
Sure.
But I was listening, and the reason I was laughing is I was playing the first Bill Cosby Show Quincy Jones song.
Jicama?
Yeah, and I was just listening to it laughing, but then I started messing with it.
Gonna get some ragged and some rolls and reason my ha, 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 ha. Every day, long as I'm away. Mm-hmm.
nominated theme song.
Quincy Jones, right?
Yeah. I feel like Quincy got a lot of mileage out of this.
Yeah. This is his act for many years.
So I was thinking it'd be funny if there was like some original recordings of this, because Bill's just scatting.
Yes, he is.
You know what I mean? This shit ain't written.
Free flowing.
Dawson, you want to play the engineer in the recording session?
Yeah.
All right, let's play it. I'll be Bill Cosby. We're going to record a theme song to the Bill Cosby Show. All right, take one.
All right, Bill, take one. You comfortable in that mic there?
How's my levels?
Great.
Perfect. Okay, sorry I don't sound like me.
All right, here we go. Take it away.
Roofie! Quaalude! Drop them panties.
Hey, Bill.
Falling asleep, girl.
Bill, can we cut for a minute?
Yeah.
I thought I heard you say Quaalude. And Roofie. First of all, I don't know what a roofie is.
I'm scatting.
Okay. All right. Let's go from the top. All right.
I don't know. Here's my thing. It's a stream of consciousness. Hey. I don't know what's coming out of my mind next. You know what I'm saying?
You're the boss.
I'm just scatting.
Okay, scat away.
Keep the groove.
All right, take two, Bill.
All right, here we go. Drop the panties, girl. Quaalude. Finish the drink now. Chew them panties off. Roofie. Hickaroof. Quaalude.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, Bill, yeah. I'm hearing Quaalude an awful lot in there. Are you,
I don't have anything written down.
Right, and sometimes the stream of consciousness thing, it's just what's on your mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
that's why I'm just letting it flow.
All right, so the show is about letting it flow.
I play Mr. Kincaid.
That's right.
I'm a teacher.
Right, so put yourself...
I'm a gym teacher.
Put yourself...
On the high school level.
Right. A boys gym teacher?
I think so. I gotta check the pilot script. Right. We haven't shot it yet.
All right, so let's get into that mindset.
Okay.
And just let it swing, Bill.
Mm-hmm. The hypno! Change me now! Take a seat on the sofa! Don't tell nobody! Fall asleep now! In my bathroom! Gonna grab you! Going down on you while you're sleeping! Don't tell your parents now! Gotta get now. Slipping Mickey now. Spanish fly now.
Hey, Bill. Bill, talking to Quincy in here.
Hey, Quincy.
Yeah.
I love the groove.
We're,
Bill, everything's great
you.
So far.
Thanks, Quincy.
We're thinking, have you ever heard the expression, less is more? You know, so you want to pepper these
that.
Things
less
in.
Less is more now.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know where that doesn't feel like scatting to me. That sounds like recognizable words.
Yeah, that's kind of what we're trying to go away from is recognizable words. So I don't want to pretend you don't speak English.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Let's take it again.
Okay. Hickaboo! Hickaboo! Roofie now! Hickaboo! Quaalude! Hickaboo! Get some bragging, some roads, some quaaludes, some Spanish flies, some roofies, and some rum now. Passing out now. Help me get your pants back on. Woo! Hickaboo! Hickaboo! Is that the...
All right. I think we're going to stop up for now.
But, yeah.
That's a usable take.
I think we can work with that. Yeah.
All right, but don't edit. That one works straight through.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay.
No, yeah.
I'm going to start planning my dance routine for my next sitcom. Okay?
All right.
All right. We'll see you at lunch.
Bill had big plans in 1968.
Be a little more honest.
Yeah.
They may have played with the lyrics.
Yeah. He was a gym coach teacher named Mr. Kincaid, who was...
Was it late 60s?
Yeah. I think it was probably 68, 69, probably lasted a season or two. And he worked at a, I don't know where he was. Maybe he was in Philadelphia or something. I he was somewhere and he worked as Mr. Kincaid. He was the
Himself went to school in Philadelphia and was a like gym right. like yeah. major, right?
Well, gym major.
He was like a physical education
was
major.
He?
I'm almost
yeah,
positive.
Yeah. He ran track and everything. They do that in sitcoms all the time. They just kind of go, version, "What you do, yeah. make you that." Oh, Joe does a Bill Cosby impersonation.
All right.
Does he want to do one? Well, we'll talk
He's
to him.
He's not willing.
We'll talk to him about
we'll
it.
All
right. This is news to you, Max. But I told you Joe did one, right?
Yeah, I didn't say he didn't. I just said I don't remember. So I called him, and he finally called me back.
You say I don't remember. I said, yeah.
If I say no, you just say, why don't you just say I don't know? So I told you I don't know.
No, but I said, does Joe Coy do a Bill Cosby? And you went,
I don't remember.
No, you said you don't think so.
No,
you
said I never said that.
You didn't say you don't remember. You said no. You didn't say no, he definitely doesn't.
I
you
was
just
very
went,
careful
like,
with my words at that. I'm 100%
You went,
sure.
I don't, he doesn't, it doesn't, not familiar to you.
Right.
But you've worked around Joe Coy a lot. So.
Yeah, he does a ton of impressions. So I don't want to say yes or no unless I'm sure.
We had the tape running at the time. Let's see what he said.
Mm. No.
Well,
there you go.
That's damning.
Right.
The same way you're not supposed to acknowledge that O.J. Simpson was like a great running back in his day, to kind of like, you know, we don't talk about that. Bill Cosby's like special, the hour and a half thing where he was like up there on stage doing himself or whatever it was pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
Everybody. Sorry, that's hurtful. I know today, but that's pretty
people
great.
People admit it. I mean, they have to. Everyone, by the way,
you have to do it.
You have to go. I know this is not an endorsement of rape, but I get it. We have a contact.
I still can't get over the fact that he played a gynecologist on the Cosby Show.
He played a high school.
Yep, Gina.
Exactly.
He played a high school gym teacher named Chet Kincaid.
Whitest name
in
I've
1969.
Ever heard.
Now, you know what's always
Chris,
weird?
Was he a physical education major?
It's always weird to me. I know he ran track for Temple and whatever. And that sounds familiar. It's always weird to fall. You know, 6 months later, they came out with something I don't talk about very often, a show called The Partridge Family.
What is it called?
Partridge Family. Short-lived, I assume?
Partridge.
Anyway, this guy was.
Like the bird?
He was the coach. He was the coach, and so he's just called Mr. Kincaid the entire time, Bill Cosby. Like, right. Hey, Mr. Kincaid, come here. Mr. Kincaid, I can't play Friday night, whatever it is. Then 6 months later, they came out with the Partridge Family, and there was Danny and Lori and everyone else, Keith, but their manager was Mr. Kincaid. Mm-hmm. And it was back when there were only three networks and everyone knew every show.
So there's only three names.
I'm just sort of going like, if you're going to name the manager.
Of all the names.
Just give him a different name so it doesn't seem like we're reminded of Bill Cosby when you say Mr. Kincaid, because I kept calling him Mr. Kincaid. All right. He was a physical education major, child psychology minor at Temple. Everyone.
Hiding in plain sight.
And he can run real fast away.
All right. We have, let's see. We have Joe's coming in. We have Adam Carolla's Unprepared from last week, and then Max Zapata made us. First, I think the ball was missionary.
Ooh.
I think that's all it said was missionary. I don't think I've ever had missionary before. The gal who was pulling the balls was a bit of all right. She's a good looking gal.
Was that Autumn that called in?
Did a little modeling. Was that Autumn?
No, this is Allie.
Allie. Okay.
There you go. I'll tell you about her and that in a second. First, JB Weld, big or small repairs, home or garage, ordinary household glue. That's ordinary. It's got the word ordinary in it. It needs to be strong. It needs to be better. It needs to be JB Weld. We're proud to have JB Weld epoxy adhesive as a sponsor. We use it here. We use it at home. We use it in the garage. Everywhere we need to put something together, we go with JB Weld. Keep JB Weld in your toolbox, in your kitchen drawer, in your craft room. Pros and DIYers have trusted this stuff for more than 50 years, and it's made in the U.S. of A. I've always used JB Weld, and I've always used it for metal repair, but now they have plastic repair, wood repair, everything repair, and they have crazy glue, and they have all kinds of epoxies, so don't glue it.
JB Weldit. Available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, AutoZone, Advanced Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Walmart, Amazon, Napa Auto, and more. It is JB Weld. Allie was from the early show. Oh, this wasn't the blonde. Sorry. This is the other good looking chick. What a couple of good looking chicks, right?
Yeah. So if you're talking about the blonde, that is Autumn.
That is Autumn. And she was hot. And Allie was hot too. And she's from the early show. And she worked in a dental lab. Mm. I'm sorry for being sexist, but that's a waste of hotness. That is for balding Asian men in their 50s. You know what I mean? Like, that's a windowless room where you're mixing catalyst and resin together and pouring it into a tray.
Those scrubs leave everything to the imagination.
Yes. All right. Sorry. Here we go. All right. Let's pull another one there, Allie. So you work in a dental lab.
Yep.
So you did. Well, first off, you weren't in high school going, one day, I'm going to be in a windowless room mixing up plaster of Paris and making dental dams for the elderly. How'd you fall into that? Like, there must be with some family connection.
Kind of. My boyfriend's dad owns the business.
Oh, so you're a shoo-in, right? So he gave me the speech like, look, we don't just let anybody walk in. Oh, actually we do, as a matter of fact. Go ahead. Nobody wants this job. He didn't have a coin op, car wash. He could have let you refill the suds at or anything glamorous. Jesus fucking Christ, man. You should work at a hot dog on a stick. Have some dignity. That outfit would be very fetching on you. When you went to churn the lemonade, a small gathering of teenage boys would just, they'd all be at the arcade going, oh, Allie's going to be churning about 15 minutes. I'm going to get a spot up front. You know, they just fucking sit there. It's just yellow water. The fucking thing's not even hooked up to anything. You want a lemonade? Oh, yeah, let me churn for 10 minutes. They just go to the back, give you a dump a thing of Crystal Light and a fucking tap water. Hey, there we go. We got some fresh stuff in the back. Yeah, there's more churning going on. Sorry, what's our next ball?
Missionary.
Missionary. The thing about, I guess we'll talk about it as a position. Because I know, like Mormons go on missionaries, right? And I guess they got to do a missionary position. I don't like missionary position myself. Not because it's not exotic or fun or dangerous. It's just, it's one of those positions where you can't fucking sneak a peek at the clock or Sports Center. You know what I mean? Like, you go doggy, you can fucking talk on the phone. Like, I mean, discreetly. I'm not saying have arguments. You go doggy, you can fucking high five the gardener, like give him the thumbs up from outside the window. Reverse cowgirl, you can work on like crossword puzzles. Roll some emails with your assistant, answer text, you know what I mean? But missionary, you're always there. It's always the potential. It's the fucking, it's the nanny cam of fuck positions. You better watch it. To be sort of conscious of what you're doing with your face. Can't let too long a period go by without like a, oh yeah. The rally is you're just counting like you're doing push-ups, you know. Once in a while when I'm feeling cocky, I'll try to get a clap in like Stallone, you know. Doing a push-up, hit it once, clap twice, back down.
You ever see the chicks with the big asses and the dudes that are like, God, man, I'd like to get a piece of that, man. She's got that big Kardashian bubble ass. And the dude's like, man, I'd like to fucking get into some of that. I always think to myself, that guy's got a big dick. Because that is way too much fucking hanger for my Cessna. Like, way too much. Do not need that much. All right, sorry, Ali. I didn't mean to take a turn for the sexual.
Yeah, she was a hot chick, and so when she got a job at a dental lab, I was like, you don't just hire hot chicks who work at dental labs. And so I said, there's some sort of family connection. Yeah. She said, well, my boyfriend's dad owns that, whatever. But this,
spot on.
This is why you must profile everyone all the time.
You don't want to, yeah.
It wasn't her dad who owned the dental lab, but it was...
No, it was a family connection.
There's a connect. Mm. There's a reason the hot 27-year-old works at a dental lab. Mm. That's how most of life works. All right, let's see. Joe Coy's coming in. Bald Brian is working on stand-up.
Oh, God.
Gina Grad went to a baseball game.
In heaven.
In heaven.
Really? Yes.
I want to know about both these things. When we break, we'll come back with Joe Coy.
Yeah, he's not here yet, but we can slide him in.
Okay. Why don't we take a quick break, and then we'll come back.
Hick a break.
And then I want to hear the difference between going to a Minnesota Twins game and going to a Los Angeles Dodgers game.
Oof.
Why does everything in L.A. have to be bad? I guess it's my question. You know, when you go around Portland, when you go around Denver, go around Salt Lake City, like when you go around, you travel around San Francisco, it's like, why does it all have to be bad? All right. Joe Coy's pulling up now. And then Brian is going to tell us about his stand-up. Well, we'll get that with Joe as well. All right, quick break. I'm going to be at the the Canyon Friday. That's coming up this Friday. And I'll be doing Adam Carolla's Unprepared there, and then Pasadena Saturday, and then Agora Hills on Sunday. So I will be doing stand-up this Friday, Saturday, Sunday at the Canyon. All the Canyon, they're called the Canyon now, and that is in Montclair, Pasadena, and Agora Hills. I'll be there. Adam Ray will be there. We need a ball puller for Montclair, so we'll try to work that one out. You can email us questions at adamcarolla.com. Okay, quick break. Come back. Joe Coy right after this.
Hey, Carolla Drinks fans. It's me, Lynette. I just want to take a second and thank you all for the support that you've given to us for Adam's Monthly Nut. We are about to sell out of this month's subscription, so hurry to CarollaDrinks.com to sign up for yours. If you do miss out, remember you can get any of these incredible products directly through their websites. You can get Vinny's Ultra Hydrating Salt at PureVitaminClub.com to cure that brutal hangover without the cheeseburger that makes your ass fat. You can also get Country Archer's grass-fed beef and antibiotic-free turkey jerky at countryarcher.com. Be sure to use the promo code Corolla10, that's Corolla10, to get 10% off. And thank you guys so much. We really appreciate it. Your monthly nut sacks are going in the mail now. Later, Hosen.
In the spirit of Murrow, Jennings, Cronkite, here's another great moment in local news.
California's Coastal Commission ruled the couple violated the seawall permit. An OC Superior Court judge agreed, meaning the seawall has to be removed. And without the seawall, it's likely part of the home will have to be demolished. According to the OC Registrar, it rents for, you ready? Nothing big, just 70 grand a month. If you can handle that, you know, you're balling.
That's a great moment in local news. Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Joe Coy in studio, coming in hot. Great Netflix special. They're all good, all two of them. This one's even better, and the energy's insane, and it is out on Netflix as we speak. filmed in, we've talked about it, in Honolulu.
I love you.
Love you, man. And the tour, Just Kidding World Tour, it's in Redding, California, coming up at the Civic Auditorium. That's August 24th. And then Calgary, Alberta, at the Grey Eagle Event Center, and that'll be September 13th. More tickets at JoeKoy.com.
Can I plug two more?
Yes.
Celebrity Theater in Phoenix, and then also Tucson I'm playing.
Nice.
We just added that.
Are you on a bus at this point?
We might do the bus again, but I had it for 2 years, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm done with the bus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you flying commercial in between stuff?
Yeah, commercial. Sometimes private.
Sometimes private. Joe, we were talking a couple things. You went and saw the Pacquiao fight. The 40-year-old Manny Pacquiao.
He looks like a 30-year-old Manny right now. I don't know if it's the opponents, but I mean, I feel like the last two fights were great opponents. What do you think?
Yeah, you were with everyone he fights at this stage. I don't mean stage, but I mean you're only going to fight the best or amongst the best if you're Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah, but what can I ask you why, man, I'm going to sound biased here, but why does Mayweather fight Kush fights at this age and Manny's still fighting the elite top tier fighters? Well, Thurman was a champion.
Mayweather
fought a Korean guy that just got done serving bulgogi that day.
Hey, look, he's money Mayweather. He makes business decisions.
He doesn't do their
fighters that want to put on a show and entertain and trade, and then they're guys who'd like to leave with their faculties and their money, and that's Mayweather. And on one hand, people don't like it because it's not an exciting brand of fighting. On the other hand, he's 50-0 or 49-0 or I don't know what he is.
Do you consider that as a boxing guy, which you are, do you consider his last three fights part of his record? Conor McGregor, the Korean dude that used to work at a restaurant?
Yeah.
And then I think a kangaroo. I think he fought a kangaroo. So is he really 50-0?
He fought a hat rack, I think. In an entry hall. It wasn't even a regulation ring.
It went the distance.
It did. That rack wobbled.
That
it
rack,
never went down.
That rack, he got racked.
Yeah.
He
re-rocked the rack. So you were sitting second row.
Yeah.
You could get sweat and blood on you.
Yeah, it was great.
In Vegas.
Yeah. Oh, there's me.
And what were the sights? What were the sounds?
This is when he knocked him down, and I didn't have my phone. I thought he was going to finish him. Because he just got up. Thurman just got up, and then Manny tends to do this. He likes to lay back a lot when he's got a guy. When he's got a guy in trouble, he likes to like lay back. Have you ever noticed that with Manny? He doesn't really like attack you. He'll bring you down, and then he plays. I don't know why I'm talking boxing. I don't even know the sport.
I just like to watch it.
But you know, like he never really goes in and attacks you. He like lays back, and he's smart. He's very smart. Like
yeah, he is. Well. For some people, well, they always do this thing where it's like the wounded animal's the most dangerous. But I don't know. Would you rather fight an able-bodied Bengal tiger or one that had a piece of rebar sticking out of his abdomen? Like, I want the wounded one.
That's the most dangerous, man.
I don't know. I feel like able-bodied, fresh off a nap.
Yeah. Top of their game.
Hungry.
Yeah, that's what I want.
Just hydrated.
Yeah.
They always say that, but Manny's a very calculated guy. Other guys are a little more sort of see red mist, and they go in for the kill. But some guys get tagged when they're going in for the kill.
But he knocked his mouthpiece completely out right there. He grabbed his mouthpiece, put it back in his mouth. I thought it was over with. I was like, this is going to be a second round knockout, which pissed me off because I bet third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh for the knockout. I picked the middle rounds.
Oh. Do you want to? Should we make Joe jealous that we have Manny holding the focus pads for me?
Oh, yeah. He was right there where you're standing, Joe.
You had to pay for your space.
Yeah, I had to pay for my space. Look at that. Oh, what a left. Oh, my gosh. Is that your punch?
No,
is
I
that
borrowed
your punch?
It. I borrowed it from Larry Holmes.
Oh, my God, Adam. Bing, bing. Bing, bing. Oh!
I'll fuck that new dental work right up.
Yeah, you'll knock my fucking. When was the last time you got into a scrap, man?
You're looking at it.
The day is young.
Yeah. Oh, look at that uppercut. Uppercut fit. Oh, you're doing the mitts with Manny, you son of a bitch!
All right.
He's
I'm
great,
old,
man.
I'm tired. But yeah, I haven't been in a street fight in a long time.
Yeah.
A very long time. Mm-hmm. But I used to.
I think the last one, I was in Chicago at a bar, and I had to perform at, that night, lip split open. It bottom and top just split, just fat lip. I talked about me getting into a fight the whole time, that whole week.
Your poor teeth.
Yeah, that's the stupid
happened?
Thing.
What fight did you get into?
It was a full-on stupid. Just dumb. I don't even want to say anything because I don't want to get in trouble.
Why? Well, how could it was you be in trouble?
How long ago was it?
It was like 10 years ago.
Oh, statue. You're
cool.
Good.
Yeah, you're cool.
You sure?
Yeah.
100%.
You'll be fine.
I don't know. I feel like this might be the end of my career.
What happened with the bar fight?
It just stuff was thrown. You know what I mean? It was more than hands. It was stupid.
What did it
start over? Was it a racial thing?
It was dumb. It was me.
I'm
being very vague, so it's going to be a boring pod. But yeah, I have a mouth, and I like to stand, and we will go because I won't back down.
Oh, wow. Mm.
So I'm that guy. I'm not that guy anymore. I'm 50.
Right.
I'm 48, but you know what I mean.
Right.
Like, you won't. I'm Mayweather's real record.
Did you feel like? Is it for you something that kicks in, or is it some pride thing?
I think it's more of a pride. It's stupid. First of all, I always tell my son don't get into street fights. I've gotten into like three, and I think they're dumb. Like especially now, man. I'm watching these. IG fights, and these kids are getting body slammed on concrete and getting knocked out. And it's like that. I don't want that to happen to my son.
Give me your best two before this that you won't get sued for.
I think my best one is when it was in a Pizza Hut parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I got two in. Yeah, I got two.
What happened in Pizza Hut parking lot?
He said stop, and I felt like a champion.
So you're winning the fight.
Yeah.
But how did it start?
Over toppings?
They started it. They were being kind of like dicks.
Right.
And it's just a lot of testosterone. That's all. It was a weekend. It was a pizza. It was...
Dudes you
just,
knew?
Yeah, just a bunch of dudes that didn't get laid, and now we're getting pizza, and now we got to fight.
How much of fighting of your, like I think about me getting into street fights, a lot of it was born of boredom. Like, there just wasn't much going on.
Yeah, yeah,
well,
yeah.
Well, the first...
Especially that one. That was way back, too.
The first beginnings, the sort of kernels of it are based in boredom and that you're hanging out in a parking lot. You know, my son is like, he's going from laser tag to Zero Gravity World to go see the Avengers movie. There's not a lot of time to scrap.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
We were like in a parking lot drinking Mickey's Big Mouth, just sitting in a parking lot drinking. So the boredom part actually was the fertile soil for the fight.
And Adam, then the beginning of your fight always started like this. You guys want to fight?
Yeah, right. At some point, some other bored group would stumble over to your bored section of the parking lot. And that was two bored guys, group, sitting around. And the fight seemed like the logical endeavor. Like, you know, we wouldn't go like, well, let's do a knitting circle or who's worked on the AIDS quilt lately or anything like that.
Yeah.
The fight would be something to do.
Right.
It was literally something to do.
Yeah.
Like, I think back in the day, guys would go into town and get into a fight.
For a scrap, yeah.
That's
what they did.
To do.
Not anymore.
No.
Nah. I'm not scared of my son. He wants to fight so bad, though. I bought him boxing gloves the other day. And he likes to, they do this thing where they body shots only. Mm-hmm. So they go at it.
Mm-hmm.
And he always told me, he was like, oh, I body shotted. Blah, blah. He talks about hitting these guys. And I was like, okay, that's cute. Then he showed me the videos. I'm like, hey, slow down,
easy.
Bro.
Someone's going to get hurt.
Someone's going to hit someone in the mouth. And I got to pay for the...
No.
Have you seen my teeth?
They're very nice.
They are beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. Punch in the mouth.
So that new tooth smell.
Oh, man. It stunk, bro. It stunk. My old teeth stunk.
My son does no fighting either.
Do you want him to, though?
No. I would like him... Here's what I would like. I have gotten a lot of mileage out of not living a fear-based life.
Yeah.
I'm now starting to decide that some people have a fear-based life. They just lead their life scared they're going to get into a fight or scared they're going to get into trouble or an accident or fired or whatever may happen. There's a fear-based version for everything. So if somebody says, you're buying a new house,
would you like to rent out your old house? The person that is not fear-based goes, ooh, I could make an extra $6,000 a month by blah, blah. The fear-based person goes, what if a bunch of vandals move in and tear the place apart and I'm left with the cleaning deposit?
You know, so that risk.
That's a fear-based. You just take property. You just take property. How many people have you spoken to who said, I'd like to be an owner, like I'd like to own a house, I'd like to have some property, I'm renting right now, but I have a job right now, and I'm like working as an editor, and we're working on this show, and we don't know if it's getting picked up, and we only have 4 more months left on the contract, and then we have to wait to see if it gets picked up, and if it doesn't pick up, they give you all these reasons, and then you talk to them 8 years later, and you go, have you bought a house yet? And they go, I don't know, it's not the right time, versus, I'm just going to buy a house.
Yeah.
And then we'll see what happens. I'll make it work. Your ability to, whether it's like you go, oh, I don't know what I'd do if I lost a leg or I lost my sight. Our ability to make it work is incredible. You get a house, you do have that editor job for the next 4 months, and then it falls apart. You figure it out. You'll get some roommates. You'll freelance. You'll do whatever.
Yeah.
We can do it. But the fear-based people
don't take that risk.
So I don't want my son to be fear-based. I don't want him to get a crushed orbital socket either.
Yeah.
So it's a kind of a combo of, I'd like him not afraid to fight, but I don't want him to get into fights.
Mm-hmm. But I think your son has that look of like, oh, he can't
fight. Who needs a blowjob?
That was mean. That was mean. No, your son has that look like the kid that looks like he can't fight, and then he rips the shit out of you.
That's what you want.
That's what you want.
Reluctant to fight, but can fight.
But can fight.
Yeah, that's what you want.
I think that's your son.
Yeah, that's
because he's got your skills. Probably does he have a left?
Has to be dragged into a fight.
When he's 5 or 6, I used to kind of hold the pads for him, and he could do it a lot. Like, I could teach him. I used to be a teacher, so I could teach people how to box fairly well.
I bet Natalia could throw down pretty good.
Oh, Natalia's funny. I said to her,
she fights dirty.
We had dinner the other night. I said to her, what do you want to do? She's like, I want to be a manager, a professional manager of show business. And I went, why? What makes you think you'd be a good manager? She goes, because I'm super pushy.
That's true. Oh, you are super pushy. Know thyself.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
So my son, I told the story a while ago, but he was wearing a bracelet a few years ago. And I said, oh, Sonny, did your girlfriend make you a bracelet? And he went, no, my boyfriend. He said with pride.
All earnestness.
So that's the group he runs with.
Okay, good.
Guys who make bracelets for each other.
And I love kick it. Ass.
Yes. All right. Joe Coy, a good guy to have here because Bald Brian did his first stand-up class last night.
Yeah.
And we're doing laughs for Bald Brian. And that's coming up, what is it, the 2nd, November 2nd, the Avalon.
Correct.
And Brian is going to MC this one.
I'm a host.
Sweet. Not me. I'm just going to do stand-up.
The toughest position.
Thank you, Joe. Easiest job, man. You're just going to show up, tell a few jokes, and have some drinks.
That's right.
That's right.
But this time you're going to MC, so you're working on a stand-up class.
Yeah. So I'm taking my first stand-up comedy class. This is going to go for 10 weeks. It's going to couple months, most of the summer. Gina has taken the class before, believe it or not.
How dare you?
No, I'm kidding. This was in the radio days?
Yeah,
How long ago was it?
Yeah, this is Jerry Katzman, right? Yeah. He's great. I started at KLSX because I just wanted to get better at, you know, public speaking, doing all that stuff. And I've done his course twice, and I love him. I think he's a great teacher, and I think you're going to like the way he teaches.
I do like the way he teaches. So the first class was just a lot of groundwork, took a lot of notes, as you can see, on my five subject binder here. He breaks his comedy, his advice down into a very manageable formula where you can turn almost anything into a joke. And we're working out, the first class is all about premises, topics. Obviously, I understand this stuff, but it's very helpful to have it in like a formula form. Like, you know, his formula is like, hold on a second. What's blank about blank is that you blank. And so it's like
a math equation.
Yeah. What's funny about parenthood is that you end up blah blah blah, you know, whatever the funny thing is or whatever the premise is. What's weird about dating is that you know the blah blah, and then you have your premise. So our assignment for the first week is just come up with a bunch of premises and we'll construct some jokes off those in the next class.
Love it.
You want to use my Papa John Phillips fucking his adult daughter theme?
So we would say what's weird about having adult consensual sex with your adult daughter is.
Move this guy to the head of the class.
So there's 10 people in the class. It's 10 weeks long. Jerry has been doing this for a long time. Mm-hmm. The guy who's directing the documentary about this whole thing has also taken his class.
Uh-huh.
So we got hooked up that way and was a happy surprise to find out that Gina did it.
Are you going to be performing at the end of the class?
Well, I'm supposed to, but the performance is when our cruise is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. New idea.
I have a better idea. Can I jump in on yours?
Hold. I think that you can still get credit if you do your act on the cruise
and send it
to Jerry.
I can open the live show on the cruise.
You know what I like what Joe does? All confident with his new teeth.
Yeah.
Somebody says, I have an idea. He jumps in and says, I have a better idea.
I do.
Before hearing your idea.
Hey, look.
How do we know yours is better?
Hey, look. I bought my first house with absolutely no money, and I got the money the day before I had to sign the papers.
Let's talk about
first houses in 1 second, because okay, I do have strong thoughts about that.
Here's my idea. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
I come back from my vacation in August, which is in 2 weeks,
mm-hmm,
and I'm doing like 16 shows at Brea.
Mm-hmm.
Open.
You're right, Joe. That was a better idea.
That is a better idea.
I'll give you 5 minutes. And my nephew's doing it too.
Really?
He's 50. He's 19 now.
That would be an amazing.
And he's going up. He's like, I always want to be a comic. I go, let's go.
Oh my God. Mm.
Write your shit.
How many minutes does he need to do to open? How much would Brian need to do?
Oh, just five.
Just five.
That's all you need. Five. You're the MC, and then you worry about when you're MCing. You get to follow other guys and tag them.
So it's fun
to run on one of their jokes.
Okay,
that part's easy. But you're 5 minutes initially on top.
Uh-huh.
You know, you got to learn how to deal with the dishes coming out, mm-hmm, and the people, mm-hmm, clanking and asking, yep, for more, right, food. And that's I'm telling you, the MC spot is the hardest and most respected.
Because anyone can write some jokes and, you know, make them funny. It's just delivering them, dealing with the distractions, the audience, the whatever, the lights. It's, you know, it's a whole thing.
Here's my only advice. You ready?
Yeah.
My only advice, and I'm done. Make sure it's your voice. That's it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Talk about you and what you like. That's it.
I have some advice.
And this class will guarantee that.
Okay. I have some advice because audiences can be tough.
Okay.
First time out on stage.
Is this the Papa John's
thing? Jesus Christ.
You do 5 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
First four, a lot of inoperable brain tumor talk.
Okay.
Yeah.
That kind of softens them up a little bit.
It really does. Work the body before you go for the knockout blow.
That's for the diagnosis.
You're not going to get the spinal.
Start off like this. Just talking about headshots. Here's a headshot.
It's going to be tough to get the thumbs down, spinal tap thing, mm-hmm, you know, 2 minutes into the set once we set the table with the inoperable brain tumor.
That's your
like where your head's
you
at.
You know what I'm saying?
Are you looking at my notes?
All right, so first house, Joe Coy. I have a story. You have a story. Go ahead.
Okay, so mine, I used to.
What year is it?
Oh, man, my first house was, let's just say 10 years ago,
mm-hmm,
10, 11 years ago. And I wanted to get a loft in downtown LA, but it was too far. Mm. So I found something on Coldwater that had a lofty look, mm-hmm, that looked just like it. So I was like, I want that. And I got the brochure and went on the road, and I would just look at it all the time. But I knew I didn't have the money for it. But then I called.
How much was it?
It was right when the market was coming down.
Ooh.
So it was originally like 800 something thousand and went down to like 650.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Unheard of.
Right when the market, now it's already doubled. It's way up there. And my sister lives in it now. And
she's opening too, Brad.
She's opening too. She's doing 6 minutes.
You dreamed about this place.
I swear to God, I'm not even lying. And I didn't have the money. And I remember calling. I thought I had a shoe-in with my brother-in-law.
Now, how much down
and I thought
at
he was
this
gonna give
point
me the
money. Do they need?
They needed over $120,000 or something like that. My credit was so bad.
130, probably.
Yeah, 130. My credit was so bad, though. Like, I couldn't even get a loan. So I thought I was going to get my dad or my sister's husband to co-sign, or at least just give me the money. Because they knew I was good for it. I was doing good on the road, but it's just my credit was bad. So I thought for sure, they'll give me 120, easy. Both of them said no. Mm-hmm. Initially my dad said yes, and he applied, and that's why I went through with it. And then my dad called, he goes, it didn't go through, son. I'm like, motherfucker! And I didn't want to lose it. It was the last one there. So then I called Mark, and Mark was all trying, and he said, no, I can't do it. And I was like, fuck.
Brother-in-law Mark?
Yeah.
He's opening.
He's also opening for me now.
Seven minutes.
Son of a bitch.
And then, this is how it all went down. My roommate, I was living in Glendale.
Opening.
He's also opening for me.
Right.
And he also does, like, backstage stuff for me. his friend came out. I'll shout him out right now, Vez. Yeah, the nicest Vietnamese man I'll ever met him that night, the night before I had to go pay. He came to visit Walter. I just met him. We went out drinking. We were having fun, blah, blah, blah. And then at the end of the night, he was telling me what he was doing. He said he was flipping houses. And I was like, what? He goes, yeah, now's the best time to buy houses and flip. And I'm like, damn. And he was like, yeah, I got this. And he showed me all these checks because he had investors. And I was like, huh? And it was like $150,000. And I go, yo, Vez, can I borrow $120,000? I think it was $100,000 I borrowed from because I think I had like $20,000. And he gave it to me.
Oh, my God.
And he goes, you promise me. I go, bro, I will get this back to you. I promise you I will get this back. And I think we made like a makeshift contract.
A cocktail napkin.
Paper napkin. Yeah.
And we went to the bank that morning. He cashed it out. And then we went and we paid the house. And I got my house. That's how I got it. And I paid Vez back in like 3 weeks or something like that.
Oh, good for you.
And now it's worth three times what you paid for it.
Yeah.
It's three times, fool.
Yeah, I bought
investment I made.
I bought my first house in the Hollywood Hills under the Hollywood sign in 1996, and I was in the same position, which is I'd been in show business for like 10 minutes. I just started Loveline, the radio show, and wasn't getting paid that much, but Loveline, the TV show, was in its first season, and I was like, I'm going to buy a house as fast as I can. And everyone did what they always do, which is show business is so topsy-turvy. You know, you're here today, you're gone tomorrow. Who knows if they're going to pick up season two on MTV and everything else. And I remember just thinking, well, if that happens, then I'll sell it. I'll get it. Maybe I'll fix it up. I'll have it for a year. And if the wheels come off the wagon, then I'll have to sell it. But maybe I'll sell it and make $25,000. I don't know. It was $350,000
for
a house that was literally under the Hollywood sign with a view of the Hollywood sign.
And 10 times that.
View of LA.
For 10 times that.
And it needed a bunch of work. It needed a ton of work. But
you're
a
carpenter.
I'm a carpenter.
You are Jesus.
Yes. So and everyone's going, are you nuts? Like, you barely started. I was in show business. I had paid off my debt to the IRS. I owed the IRS like $5,000. I had saved up just exactly the amount I needed for the down payment. And the second I got to that down payment amount, I was like, we're going house.
What was the down payment?
I think at the time they only wanted 10% versus now 20 or 30% or whatever it is. Yeah. So at the time it was like 10% down payment. So I was like $35,000. Yeah. That was a rant of king's fortune to me. I was living in a house in La Cañada with three roommates and owed the IRS and was paying them like $21 a month in payments and stuff. Like, I was dirt poor, but I'd saved up, you know, $35,000 or maybe $40,000, and it was time to go house hunting. Wow. And I just jumped on it immediately.
Joe, when did you buy yours? Approximately the one for $650?
I bought that. It was like right when it crashed. Literally right when it crashed.
10-ish years ago.
It was 10-ish years ago? That's exactly when I bought it. Wow. And I remember when they first went on sale, how high it went, and they kept slashing it. And when it got down to like 6, like 50, I was like, oh my God, I got to get it. It was only one left facing the mountain.
I want some. We were talking about Kobayashi calling out Joey Chestnut for cheating. I don't know if you have that story, Gino, or
I don't.
Max Zapata.
We have a TMZ clip here.
All right. Well, hold on. Let me hit Castrol Edge. We'll take a break, and then we'll do that. Castrol Edge, you can tweet us your challenge questions at Adam Carolla Show with hashtag Castrol Challenge with your questions. Castrol Challenge. Brought to you by Castrol Edge, formulated with fluid titanium technology. What do you got, Max Bata?
At Pictish Houndsman on Instagram wants to know, what are you going to do with your collection after you go, and can he inherit it?
I'm going old school.
Fair question.
I'm going to be buried in it.
Yeah. Oh.
I'm going to get in all my cars and just dig a big 12-story deep grave and go straight down.
You selfish prick. I can see you doing that.
I don't know, but I got to tell you.
Paul Newman racing outfit.
The race, the Laguna Seca race, is now like 3 weeks away, and I'm starting to dial in the 9:35, everybody. So we're getting ready to hit the road and go to Monterey and do that race. I don't know. I guess I'll give it to my stupid kids, but
they don't care.
They don't care. And it should be in a museum or something. It's now 11 Newman cars, and hopefully it's going to be 12
soon enough.
You know what they're going to do. Who was the guy, the son of, what's his name, that flipped it immediately? My dad would want you to take really good care of it.
Oh, that was Walter Payton's son.
Yes, they're going to go full Walter Payton Jr. on you.
Yeah, that was, God, what was his name? He played.
Was it?
Walter Payton's son was like a DB, I think. He was in the league.
It's not Walter Payton Jr.?
No, it's Jarrett. Yeah.
Oh, there you go, man.
Jarrett did the thing where his dad had the Porsche 930 Turbo, and he was like, this is my dad's favorite car, and when he died, he promised I'd take care of it. I'm only offering it for sale because I have so much love for the man. It's like,
so
wait a minute,
reverence.
You're selling it? Why are you? Wait a minute, you can't say both, just say you're selling it. But I don't know. Peterson Automotive Museum. There you go. All right. Thank you, Castrol Challenge. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll hear the story of Kobayashi talking shit about Joey Chestnut right after this.